Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, it feels like a pretty slow week here because I see the top story in our show notes is about coffee flavors.
It feels like it's a slow news week because it is a slow week. So, yeah, this is what we get. This is what we get when not a lot of news comes out. We get to talk about coffee flavors.
Oh, Joffrey.
Yeah. So Mickey Mouse, you know, 90 years. So Joffrey has decided to do a Disney Mickey's 90th anniversary blend, which is a smooth, medium roasted coffee that is classic and delectable, which I appreciate because, you know, I don't want it to be like not classic, but delectable. And I don't want it to be classic, but not delectable. So, I mean, they just really hit the sweet spot for me. I'm pumped for this coffee. Can you tell?
Are you really?
Yeah.
I've never had Joffrey's coffee before. Well, I guess I have. Is that what they serve in the restaurants on property?
I feel like they do for the most part, unless, you know, like if you go to Starbucks, you're going to get Starbucks coffee. But oh, yeah, most of the other on-property coffee is Joffrey's coffee. So, like, have you ever had coffee at, say, anything except for a Starbucks property, I guess?
I've had coffee at a resort and coffee at Kona.
Well, there you go. I don't know about the Kona coffee. I don't know if that would be Joffrey's or not, but I feel like most of the other resort coffee would be Joffrey's. And if you've ever done, there's that coffee shop in the back of Disney's Hollywood Studios. There's the coffee shop over there in Tomorrowland. Like, those are all Joffrey's coffee.
Right.
As well.
I don't know really what the quality is. I don't like the use of very ambiguous words on this coffee. Dark. What does that even mean? Full roast. What is that? Those aren't coffee roasting words.
Okay, like, if you're not a coffee geek, they are. Dark means it's going to taste like burn.
Burnt, yeah.
Media means it's only going to somewhat taste like burn. So that is the difference. I just found it interesting because, okay, so yes, in this Joffrey's press release that we are discussing this week, because this is where we find ourselves, you know, they have these two additional specialty coffees that they're talking about, which is Disney's French Bistro, which would be that dark roast that you're talking about, and then the organic Peru Alto Mayo, you know, which both have the word Disney on the front, and that's totally okay.
Sure.
But, you know, like, French Bistro, I get it. I know what kind of coffee I'm getting, right? Organic Peru Alto Mayo, like Peru Alto Mayo, I feel like I could figure out what kind of coffee I'm getting there.
Well, you at least know that the Peru one is going to be South American.
Yeah, yeah. Which tells you
France does not grow coffee.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, do you not, like, French Bistro is code for taste like burn. That's just what that means. At least to me, anyway. It's like espresso blend. Espresso usually means, at least in my experience. Gosh, I need to make sure that I put that in here. In my experience, that's often code for they roast the heck out of it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fair. I mean, you taste the roast more than you taste the coffee, and I think honestly that's what most people think coffee is. Let's not get into this. I did just roast a batch of coffee today, so I'm
so you're ready to coffee nerd out.
I'm right on. Yeah, I'm
and
right on the train.
And we're not on missing the bean. We're on missing the mouse.
Yeah.
So yes, instead let's focus on the fact that they are capitalizing on Mickey's They're capitalizing on Mickey's 90th anniversary by creating just a 90th anniversary blend. That's it. You know.
Right.
And since his big screen debut in Steamboat Willie in November 18th, 1928, Mickey has been the global ambassador for the Walt Disney Company. This limited edition coffee blend will be available in late. Like, that is all that they tell. it's just interesting that they are, I don't know, it's weird to me when they trade on Mickey's name for what could essentially be any other coffee. But I guess it doesn't, couldn't you say the same thing of a lot of merchandise? Like, I've got a pen that's a Mickey yeah. pen, and it would be a pen all the same. I guess it just has Mickey's face on it.
Well, and I think we've talked about in the past, I don't remember when exactly, but I don't believe Joffrey's exists outside of Walt Disney parks.
Oh, it's available at select grocery stores, buddy.
Online, is it really?
Online and at select grocery stores. Yes, that's right.
So I knew online, but I didn't believe, I thought that Joffrey's was, maybe it's just that their stands or whatever, like, only operate within Disney parks and they just are available outside, but I don't believe that Joffrey's is a real coffee company, you know.
Oh no. Ted Abrams, Joffrey's CEO, begs to differ. The Disney Specialty Coffee Collection is enjoyed by many guests and enthusiasts who want to taste a special part of the Disney experience in the comfort of their own home. We okay. have heard from customers looking.
We're launching into Munch Squad now. Is this what you want, Brad? Is this really what
no,
you want?
No. I'm just telling you that Ted Abrams says that this is so, you know, we have heard from our customers looking for our Disney coffees at their local grocery store, and we are excited to finally be able to offer and make these coffees available to them at select grocery stores nationwide. So this is not just a Disney thing, buddy. This is in select grocery stores nationwide because people have been clamoring for their job. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't think that this is entirely marketing speak. Like, it definitely is to some extent, but I don't sure. doubt that some people say, you know, I wouldn't mind. And isn't that kind of the point, is to make something that people can associate with their Disney trip and then offer yeah. them some way of getting that? Like, that's just good synergy.
I think if you go to one of those stands and get a cup of coffee and you think it's good, then I think it's really smart for you to be able to go home and go to Kroger and see that same brand of coffee. Because yeah. I think it would even feel more premium, you know, being that you had it at Disney World and you thought it was good.
I do wonder what in a store a bag of Joffrey's coffee would run you, because I think that would definitely affect how willing I was to give this a shot. I mean, I guess if the 90th anniversary blend was reasonably priced, but it's also like words such as limited edition blend lead me to believe that is not going to be super duper cheap. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So for that reason, I may not be getting it.
I do believe that I was wrong. After visiting Joffreys.com, they do appear to be their own thing with a special section called Disney Parks and Resorts.
Yeah, so
up their website.
So I expect you to go ahead and be crafting that email right now to our good buddy Ted Abrams, CEO of Joffrey's Coffee, apologizing for calling out his coffee company. Because yeah, it looks like they've got quite a few things that aren't, like the donut blend. I don't think there's anything particularly Disney related to the donut blend or house blend or mocha java. It looks like Joffrey's Coffee just happens to do, you know, they were smart and they scored the Disney the contract.
Yeah.
And now they're taking advantage of that.
This is very interesting. If you go to the Parks and Resorts part of their website...
I really feel like we've had this discussion before, haven't we?
No. Well, we've talked... I think we've talked about them in that, like...
Because we've discussed, are they really outside of the park or not? So, I'm going to the Parks and Resorts.
I've not ever been to this. They have a Tiffin's blend.
Oh, they have a Kona blend. They have a Kona blend.
Alani, California Grill, Carthay Circle.
A Le Cellier blend.
Citricose. You can get the coffee that you would have gotten at that specific restaurant.
So does that mean that each restaurant at Disney is serving, like, you know, because, okay, let's there are certain things at Disney, the Disney burger, right? That is pretty much the burger you get at every quick service restaurant that serves a burger, or the Disney green beans. You basically right. get the same green beans at every, and please understand, I'm not saying this is bad. I love me some Disney green beans. And I, you know, again, it's kind of that thing where I associate eating those green beans with being at Walt. And I, that sounds crazy, but it is what it is. So there's not like a Disney coffee. It's just each one is going to have their, which I, you know, I guess yeah. that way they can get you to buy a lot of different coffee.
It also could be the same thing in each bag.
I don't see them doing that.
I don't either.
I don't see them.
I don't either. That was what I like to call a joke.
Oh, this is the in-room coffee. Or at least the Aulani. Why can I not say that word? Aulani. Aulani? Aulani? Yeah. Aulani says it is the in-room coffee to represent the flavors of the Hawaiian Islands.
See, I love the thought of buying a coffee, like buying the California Grill coffee, which I did get a cup of coffee at California Grill the first time I ate there.
Okay, and Mr. It was Coffee pretty Snob. Good. Okay, so there you
it
go.
It was pretty good.
You need to get you some.
It was pretty good. But if you do scroll down, you can at least found the French Bistro
mm-hmm.
one. And it's $14 for, oh, dang it. I should have looked up. I just wanted to say, oh, no, $14 for 12 ounces. That's not really great.
So it looks like $13.99, $14.99, up to like $19.99 if you're looking at the Aulani or the Kona, where you've got Kona coffee involved.
Sure. Yeah, that's 20.
Yeah, which pretty much makes sense. So, you but know, it's
over a dollar an ounce for that. I don't.
Wait. Why are you using the words for that? Like, have you tried this coffee? Do you know that it's not good?
When I say for that, I just mean like there is a difference between buying coffee that was roasted at your local coffee shop where, you know, they will put a date on a bag, or, you know, you can see that you can see the roaster in the back, stuff like that, versus going to a grocery store and purchasing coffee where you don't know, and frankly most people don't even care when it was roasted. And so that's what I mean.
So high five people who haven't unsubscribed from our podcast and are still listening to this episode and are saying, did I miss the part where I signed up for the coffee podcast? Here's what I'm thinking, Jeremy. I'm thinking, in order to better test things, we see that there are coffees available for different resorts and for different restaurants, right? Yes. And there is a bag related to your favorite restaurant, which would be California Grill, right?
Yes, yes.
There's a bag related to my favorite restaurant, which would be Le Cellier, right?
Which has a really cool, yes, really cool art.
Which is actually the art for Le Cellier.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm thinking you need to order a bag of California Grill. I need to order a bag of Le Cellier. And then let's speak about this again in the future from a place of experience rather than from a place of what we guess is or isn't okay. good about this coffee. Sound good?
Yep.
You're going to order the California Grill. I'm going to order the Le Cellier, and then we'll come back and talk about it after we've had a chance to actually try this coffee.
Fair enough.
The other reason that coffee gets the top billing is that I really don't want to talk about the next thing on the deal. You know, I really don't want to bring down the vibe, and I just bashing on
monorails.
Yeah, I don't know a way not to bring down the. So wait. We can. Here's what we'll do. We'll bring it way down, and then we'll bring it back up a little bit. Okay. Here's how we're gonna do this. Initial reports were that a monorail was dropping windows all over the place because suddenly there were pictures showing up on social media of the, what is that? Is that the lime green? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So the lime green monorail, there were pictures on social media of it sitting there with multiple windows just missing off the sides of it. And people are like, hey, look, this is a monorail. Look, here comes the, you know, the little tow dolly going out to this, or the tow tram, I don't know, going out to this monorail that's missing windows all over the place. It's been dropping windows on people's heads.
Now, killing them.
See how far... Whoa. Whoa, buddy.
Hey, you said we were going to bring it down real far.
You brought it down real far. So it's not that bad. It's not that bad. What happened was a monorail apparently broke down, and when the monorail breaks down and stops working, the air conditioning breaks down and stops working. And you know what's super important in Florida in June?
Air conditioning.
You're the big winner. Yeah. And the let's be honest. Let's be honest. Have you been on a monorail in this, you know, June, July, in the summer months, even with the air conditioner? It gets kind of
sucks.
Yeah, it's rough, dude. And like, I don't.
Well, but it's mostly rough because every single human person in there is soaking wet with their own sweat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It smells kind of like a zoo.
Yeah.
And it's tough to get that cool anyway, because in Disney's defense, they're just regularly opening those doors up. So, Right. Yeah, once it stops and the AC stops working, those windows are removable. And if you got to get air, you know, better than having overheating guests, I assume you have, because, okay, there's nothing that connects a monorail car to another monorail car, right?
Right. No pass-through or anything.
Right, right. So if these windows are gone, that means that somebody from the inside, so a guest, had to, like, pull a window off so they could have fresh air.
But how do you know how to do that?
Well,
how do you know to do that?
Yeah, so I feel like there are instructions on the window. You know, this is an emergency window, because it's also the way that you would, like, get out of the car if it stopped, like the door stopped working or something. So I feel like there's instructions on how to do it.
That would never happen. The doors would never stop working, Brad. Come on.
The doors would never stop working. Sometimes they work a little too good. But yeah, they don't stop working. But that being said, how do you know to do that? You probably know how to do that, or you probably know to do that when the, you know, voice comes over and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that we are experiencing a little technical difficulty here, and your cab is now getting extremely hot, so just go ahead and pop them windows out."
Well,
get
a
little cool air going.
But if they lost power, how would they have the PA still?
It had to. Those PAs, I'm sure, are on some kind of backup because they're not going to use nearly as much power as the AC, and that's the only way that I can explain that. That because there were multiple cars with windows missing.
A lot of the windows were missing.
Yeah. Like, if there was one car with windows missing, I would say one person got real smart and said, "I ain't dealing with this anymore," and popped a window to get some fresh air. That every car, or that multiple cars had it, leads me to believe that they definitely told somebody. So, yeah. So the upside is windows were not falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
Thus far, what I feel like there's only really been like one piece of a monorail falling out of the sky recently, right?
Yeah, the only piece that has fallen was that one piece that like one big hunk that fell off the side onto the road. The doors failing to close and stuff like that haven't made anything fall.
Yeah, they've kept so the upside of the story is you're still mostly safe being underneath a monorail. So see, there is an upside there. There's an upside. You're mostly safe underneath a monorail. The possible still downish side is the monorail is continuing to have problems.
Yeah, they have to be doing a refurb. Like, there has to be something they're working on to get new monorails at Walt Disney World. They're so old. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't think this is, you know, there's some part of me that goes, maybe we're just hearing more about this because social media is a bigger thing, and these things can't be swept under the rug like they were before. But, I mean, we're not talking about over the course of the last 7 or 10 years. We're talking about the course of the last, what, maybe 2 years that all this is starting to happen? So I really think this is a lot more that, yeah, the monorail fleet, and I want them to refresh the monorail or, you know, upgrade the monorail feet. I do not want to see them get rid of it, but yeah, something has gotta change there, because oh gosh, dude, it's that's getting tough. You know, would, do you even suggest that people take the monorail at this point? I mean, because I don't know. It's you definitely see a lot more happening, but you also have to think about how many people does the monorail carry every day?
If you're talking statistical likelihood that something's going to go wrong, I think we're still pretty low. But it there is definitely more bad things happening.
It's still low, but it's way higher than what it was a little while ago.
Absolutely.
And they probably should do something about it before it gets high enough that it's no longer statistically low.
Well, and it's not just the likelihood that something bad's going to happen. I mean, they look bad and they feel bad. And there's a lot of creaks and cracks when you're riding them. I mean, they sound bad.
And they smell bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just like how statistically likely are you to get stranded. It's like these things are not as good of an experience as they once were.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So I don't know. I don't get pumped about having more stories to talk about the monorail screwed up again. And I don't think that number of stories is going to go down until they do something about it. So let's all really, really hope that, you know, and here's the other thing. I definitely don't think Disney is oblivious to the issue that's going on. So surely somebody's talking about how to fix this and make this not a problem, right?
I hope so. And don't call me Shirley.
So one last quick thing. Let's talk about the because after our coffee discussion, let's just go downer. The letter being given to people as they come into Hollywood Studios, right? So Chip and Co. picked up this story where apparently people coming into the park are now getting this little pamphlet? One sheet? It's kind of like your Times guide or something.
Yeah.
But on it, it's a letter from Phil Holmes, who is the vice president of Disney's Hollywood Studios. And it's, you know, we're going to try to do a really good job today. If you have any thoughts about the park visit, need assistance, please email us at this email address. It's not Phil's email address. I think Phil should have given his email address. But then there's this paragraph that Disney's Hollywood Studios is in the midst of a multi-year expansion where guests can have their own adventures together in the immersive worlds of Toy Story Land, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We hope you make cherished memories today and come back to enjoy the all-new fun right around the corner. Is this just supposed to be, this is why, like, if you feel like there's nothing to do at this park, here's the reason why?
Yeah. This feels very weird. Like, are we off schedule? Are we off of some construction schedule? Because I feel like they would have known a long time ago that this lull was going to happen.
Well, and Mickey, and so the last of those three things that closed anything down was Mickey and Minnie, right?
Right.
Because that closed the Great Movie Ride. And the Great Movie Ride closed way back from all of this happening. Or has the uproar just end but at the same time, if it's an uproar, how does this letter help any of that?
Right.
Like all it does is highlight you're missing out on quite a bit of what's going to actually be happening here because we're all because so much of our park is under construction.
Right. Yeah.
Did you notice there's nothing to do?
Planning your vacation, dummy. You should have come back in a year or two.
Yeah, you paid full price for this park, sucker.
Well, and the whole, like, I keep focusing on that email address, www.dhs@disney.com. Can you get less personal than that?
Yeah, even you know, so I had an issue with Amazon where I was selling something and something weird happened, right? Amazon has jeff@amazon.com or something like that. I forget what it is, but it's Jeff Bezos' email address. Secret hint, it doesn't act, Jeff is not personally checking every single one of those emails, but there is a team that reads those emails, right? Because, you know, and I actually got a call back, and it's like, hey, Jeff wanted me to contact you and help you work this out, blah, 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 you know. And
it's like when you used to email sjobs@apple.com.
Right.
Steve Jobs did not read your email about how much you hate mail.app.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, he might have. He might have if it was a slow day. Maybe
his executive maybe response team did.
Right, which is the exact same thing that Amazon does. And I just don't, I do wonder why Phil Holmes does not have, you know, phil.holmes@disney.com.
Right.
Up there. But like I said, I don't know. I just have trouble understanding this letter. And, you know, I think that people, there are people who appreciate it. So maybe I'm in the wrong here, and I'm okay with that. I guess I'm also not the one who's getting it firsthand. But
what if Phil went rogue and didn't tell anybody he was writing this letter, and so he just had to use the existing email because he didn't have time to make a new email?
Oh, so Phil's like, he's like down in the Utilidors after hours, and
printing
out on the printing press, and
yeah, he's using a paper cutter to, he's doing it all night, and he's out in the morning. He found some little Orlando local kid to pass these out at the metal detectors or whatever. I think Phil's done this all on his own.
If that was actually the case, I would actually appreciate, I think I would appreciate this letter a lot more.
Because I think the email should have been like dhsrules@disney.com or something, you know, like
DHS is still all right with me.
Yeah.
@disney.com.
Right.
DHS is enough. Yeah. This is so, because for the people that notice that they're missing out and that there's construction everywhere, this, I don't think this is going to make them any less upset.
No, that, that, yeah.
And for the person who doesn't know, like, you're just, you're saying, just in case you missed the notice, there's, if it feels like there's not a lot going on, if that's like a little nagging thing in the back of your head, let me bring it right to the front of your head.
So let me make an analogy to something that I'm familiar with. So, like, people are upset at Apple for making this MacBook Pro with the bad keyboard, which I have not used myself, but people are upset at Apple for making this bad keyboard. It would be like if Apple, when you bought the computer and you took it out of the box and you lifted the lid, if they had a little note that said, like, hey, if you notice that this keyboard is bad, it's because it's bad. And, like, if you buy another computer in the next couple of years, it'll probably be better. But, yeah, no, right now, if you feel like the keyboard is bad, it's because it's bad.
We hope you enjoy this keyboard today, right? And we hope you'll enjoy the new one even better.
It's just like, yeah, it feels like calling out the fact that there's not a whole lot to do at DHS for no reason. I mean, honestly, the letter should say, hey, unless you want to do Toy Story, don't even worry about going past Sunset Boulevard. Just go ride Tower of Terror and the Rock and Roller Coaster, and you'll be good to go.
I tell you what, like,
here's a 50 in here. Right. Give them the letter and give them a $50 bill and say, are bad.
You don't. Here's the thing, though. You don't even have to do that. You want to know how to make me feel better? Say, hey guys, here's the skinny, you know, this letter, and then at the end, enjoy a free Mickey premium, you know, exchange this letter for a Mickey premium bar on us or right. Something like we admit that the current state of this park is less than optimal. Deal with it. Is that not what it kind of feels like at the end? God, dude, I don't want to. I'm trying really hard not to be negative about this, but I'm not seeing. Somebody on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like, let me know what the positive is to this, because I'm missing it. And I really do, like, I obviously think Disney is intelligent and they think through what they do. And so they must have a reason for this. I'm just missing it. And I want to be in on it. I want to understand. So please help me understand. Please reach out to me. Help me understand.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.